Welcome to the Unstoppable Profit Podcast. This podcast will give independent insurance agents all of the tools to grow your business and live life on your terms. Wherever you are today, if you're starting with nothing or well on your way to the success you desire, with the right people, processes, and promotions in place, you will be unstoppable. And now I'd like to introduce your host, Mike Stromso.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Unstoppable Profit Podcast. I'm excited for today because Frank Favolo, did I get that right, Frank?
Yes.
I didn't even ask you how to pronounce your last name, but we are wide open here on the podcast. Frank Favolo is on the podcast. I've got to know Frank through a common introduction, and I have learned that this man historically has figured out not only the people side of business, but sales and customer experience. And the more I get to know Frank, the more he's got a wealth of experience and knowledge. So I want to do everything I can on the podcast today and pull it out of him to share. Because remember, people refer and do business with people they know, like, and trust, but we say no, love and trust. And he's got a lot of those things to share as well across industries. Business principles are business principles. It's really that simple, right, Frank?
100%. 100%.
Yeah. So anyway, Frank Favolo, welcome to the podcast. And go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are, where you came from, and anything else you want to share, and we'll get started.
Absolutely. You know, thanks for having me, Mike. So where I came from, and I you're right, cross industry is cross industry, people are people. And I even take it even one step further. I believe that athletics and business are both almost hand in hand in terms of, like, they're both games, right? You're playing a game and you're trying to achieve, you're trying to win. And for me, my background, I was an athlete growing up. I was a wrestler. I was a college wrestler. And so that was that mindset of, you know, getting out there, working hard, delivering great service. But believe it or not, you got to serve yourself, right? As an athlete, you got to take care of yourself. You got to eat properly. You got to make sure your weight is on, like all the things it takes. So I went through that world, and that really set me up, for business. So here, you know, fast forward to today, I've been in 5 industries. When we think about it, all different industries, also all over the map. And I've led sales teams, I've led salespeople, and I've led the field in that. And it all comes back to people, and it all comes back to the level of service and the experience that we provide. Sure, you have to have a great product or service, but that has to happen, right? If you don't have that, then it doesn't really matter how good all the other stuff is. You have to have that. But once you have that, the differentiator is people. It's the people make the difference. And when you really break it down, like, you know, what separates people from people? Well, I look at it, there's 5 ways you can really break it down. There's probably more, but like service excellence is one, right? So if I'm a client and I'm deciding which, you know, agent I want to go with, you know, in your industry, let's say, you know, who is going to provide me the best level of service? Well, I experience service, right? It's how quick people get back to me. How do they answer the phone? Do I have the perception of excellence? It's customer perception is everything, right? So how do we answer the phone? How do we send our emails? You know, how is our tone? How is our body language? Everything is felt. So service excellence is one. Our consistency is our second thing. The attention we give clients, our ability to be empathetic in tough situations, and how we appreciate them and personalize experiences. So I really break it down into those 5 categories of how do we differentiate from everyone else out there who does what we do.
So the 5 categories, let me just recap those, make sure I got them. I got service excellence, consistency. I heard empathy.
Attention. And appreciation.
Attention and appreciation. Got it. All right. So those are the 5. I'm going to circle back to empathy for just a second to give you a heads up. Appreciation is the 5th one. We had a gentleman on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. His name was Joey Coleman, well known in his own right in business. And he talked about empathy as being the top thing in his mind right now, traveled 52 countries and consulted with some of the largest companies in America. Talk about empathy and what you know about empathy in today's world, because when we were talking earlier, you also talked about EQ, emotional intelligence. So
empathy, I believe, is a superpower. And I think that's happened in the world over the last couple of years, a lot of us have empathy fatigue. So our battery is really low on being able to show empathy because we've been through a lot. The world's been through a lot of craziness over the last couple of years. And for me personally, I was not a person, I don't think, that was very empathetic in my early years. And I believe now empathy is a skill. It's a skill that we can actually strengthen. And what really did it for me, what showed me, is when I started my career, my first ever career in sales was actually in fitness sales. So people would walk in, they would have a 30-day coupon of 30 days for free, and they would come in and they would want to try out an exercise facility. And it was my job to take them through the process of understanding who they are, what their goals are, right? And then getting them to join the facility. Because as we know, 30 days is great, but it's not going to solve your problem, right? It's not a lifestyle. And we're after a lifestyle here. To put myself in those people's shoes who walked in the door, think about that. Maybe they've been thinking about it for 3-4 years, right? Maybe, you know, what's held them back? They had to be so vulnerable to go and get uncomfortable walking into that facility for the first time. And it was my job to learn who they were and feel what they felt in a way that really, I invested in that moment in time and helping them achieve what they wanted to achieve. Now, I could never feel exactly what they felt, but once we put ourselves in the shoes of other people, that's how we get more empathy into our lives. We have to be curious enough to want to feel like, wow, you know, in my coaching workshops, we talk about this a lot, you know, like, remember when the football player from the Buffalo Bills, DeMar Hamlin, he had cardiac arrest, I think, on the field, like not last season, but the season before.
Right.
And I use that example a lot with empathy of like, imagine, you know, what it was like to be there on the field in that moment, like to be a teammate of his or a family member of his. And oh my goodness, like this is like, it was so like just such a wow, you know, like, and you could never put yourself in those shoes, but you could feel something. And I believe that's empathy. We have to feel what other people are going through. And think about that for your business and like your clients and your, you know, the people listening to this right now, their clients. Do we really take the time and the energy and the effort to put ourselves in their shoes and really feel, what does it feel like doing, you know, working with me through their shoes? What does it feel like to work for me with my employees, right? So it's experiencing that and going through that exercise. And we do a fun exercise in my coaching workshops called a day in the life. And we bring that together and we experience that of like, what are our clients going through? What are the challenges in their life? The real things, like, you know, everyone is fighting a battle that other people are unaware of. So like, you know, what are those true things? And through that, we create that exercise and we act it out actually. And then as a result of that, it really helps to bring more empathy into the lives of our people.
I love that. A day in the life. Talk more about that. I mean, I don't expect you to give, you know, the complete overview, but you know, where do you start and what is the normal outcome after you go through the exercise and how long does that exercise take, a day in the life?
Yeah. So think about it like this, like all of us like are sitting here, like, okay, we are trying to achieve whatever our job is. So if it's like, you know, sign, you know, get another policy or whatever that is, right? Like,
yeah, let me take you through an example. I mean, we were just talking about this within the last hour with a group of agents. So what's going on right now in America, in many states, is insurance companies are no longer insuring properties for whatever reason, fire, storms, whatever. And so they cancel policies. And so people are left without a policy to protect their homes and other valuable assets. They have to find a new policy. And what they're finding is a policy that is 20, 30, 50%, 100% more or more. So it's a big financial burden to them. And that's where they're feeling. So take that one and go.
Yeah. So think about that. Like, so number one, how is that impacting their lives? Right. Maybe something else is going on in their life. You know, mom has cancer or, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, like, not only are we having to spend so much time and energy to try to help mom and be there to support her, now we're dealing with this. So it's feeling for our clients and saying, how would I feel if this happened to me? And taking that and showing it in how you serve them.
Right.
Because that's what you can do. How can I better serve you, my client? Right. I mean, like, this is a business of service, pure and simple. You can bring all the AI and technology in the world in, and I'm on board with a lot of it. Don't get me wrong.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. But how do we serve? And there are completely different levels of service. So that's why I say service excellence is one, and it goes in line with empathy, right? They all go hand in hand, those five.
100%. And I agree. The technology is out there and a lot of it's making us more efficient and we can really get more done and maybe communicate a little bit better. But at the end of the day, we are still in the human existence and it's all about relationships. So you have a phrase that you've shared with me as we got to know each other, highly developed people. Tell us more about that.
Highly developed people.
So, you know, we talked about the customer experience. We talked about the sales end of business because that's where you shine, right? You know, helping people have a great experience. It might be in sales and it might be, you know, getting clients, keeping clients, right?
Yes.
Sales and then service. So how do having highly developed people maximize that, right?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So highly developed people, I think a highly developed person is a person that has the will and also has the skill. And they're not, those are completely two different things. So you could have all the skill in the world, but if you don't have the mindset, if you don't truly care about people and you just care about yourself and what's in it for you, then, you know, it doesn't matter how much skill you have. So, and Bob Berg, you know, the great Bob Berg, who is the go-giver author, one of my favorite all-time books, a go-getter is someone who is a go-getter, which we know what that is, but a go-giver also, right? So it's combining the skill, you know, with the will. And that's that combination of those things. Here's the thing. So a lot of people have the skill, but don't have the will. And a lot of people have the will, but don't have the skill. So it's combining those together. Let's talk about the skill real fast. So
yeah,
don't think, you know, don't, and I love Jim Rohn also, one of my favorites, you know, don't wish it was easier, wish you had more skill. Like that's, so, you know, think about how can we be improving our skills. And when we really think about customer service and the experience, who took a course on that in high school?
I don't recall going through one.
Yeah.
They might have been trying to teach it indirectly, but still.
Right. So I never took that course. I never took it in college either. I work with one of the world renowned doctors, functional medicine doctors. He's a Harvard guy, number one in his class at Harvard, Mayo Clinic, the best. And he said, Frank, I went through my entire education and I never took one course on empathy, which is, you know, the number one reason physicians are being sued today in the United States is lack of bedside manner. So, you know, not being able to have a great patient experience, just making them feel like another number. So like we weren't taught service. So a lot of people out there today think they're already great at service. We deliver great service, but I'm telling you this from my experience out there, if you've never focused in on it and worked to elevate those skills, you're not great at service. Bain and Company did a survey, in fact, that proves this. They surveyed 300 CEOs in every industry, and they asked them one question: does your company deliver great service? What percentage would you guess came back and said, yeah, we're great? If you had to guess.
At least 80 to 90%.
You hit it on the head, 80%. So 80% of the leaders out there believe they're great. Bain and Company, this is the beauty of the survey. They then go and they survey 3,000 of their customers.
Okay.
And they ask them the exact same question. What percentage of those customers agreed with those 300 CEOs?
50 to 60.
Eight percent. So 80% said we're great. 8% of the customers agreed. Eight.
So that means 92% were not on board.
80%? Yes.
Yeah. 8%. The owners and leaders said 80%. Yeah, we're customer service champions, right?
100%.
But only 8% of the customers, the ones that paid the bills, that provided the income, agreed that they were great.
So that's a huge gap.
Yeah.
Who's right?
Well, does it matter?
Well,
we've got to close that 92% gap.
Right? So until we put ourselves in the shoes of the customer, we don't see what they see. And if right. we don't ever put ourselves in those shoes to understand them, what are their challenges? I love asking the question, if I was going to kick my butt as a company, like if I was a competition and I wanted to kick my butt, what would I do? And it's a great exercise to think through, like, what should we be doing to beat ourselves, right? And then that's what then we should be taking to the marketplace and start doing more of. Look, I have agency I work with, right? Let's just talk about it. I hear from them one time a year or every other year. It's when my policy is coming up, right? That's the only time I hear from them.
So you mean when they want money?
Exactly. And how commonplace is that?
I think back to 80%.
Yeah.
I believe that 80% of agents out there, that's their model, that's their belief, and that's what gets their attention. Oh, renewal's coming up. We need their renewal premium so we can get paid. We're going to do something. But you know the Pareto principle, I'm suggesting, the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
But it's that top 20% of agents out there who understand all this and do something differently, like maybe touch people multiple times per year, care about them, show value in some other way.
That's the name of the game, right? Because
so let's talk about that. Yeah, go ahead.
If you can't differentiate, you might think you differentiate in your eyes from your competition, but again, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the customer thinks, okay? And then also, what are you really doing to differentiate? You know, I look at differentiation three ways. You can differentiate with being the lowest price. There's always that option, right? How can I be the cheapest? And maybe that's someone's business model, but unless your last name is, you know, Walton, you know, mm-hmm. and you have buying power like no other, like that's a pretty scary strategy for me. The second is innovation. You can bring AI in, you can start to innovate, you can do different things, but does your competition have the same availability to buy those products? And absolutely, right? So the third is that experience. It's your people and it's their skill and their will. And it goes back to that again.
I love that. The will and the skill, and they should be working together.
And you have to constantly be working to elevate both. If you're a company that's not working to elevate the skill and the will of your people, and that's purpose and passion, that's culture, right? The will piece. So if you're not focusing there, then chances are you're in that sea of sameness where you're not differentiating in the mind of the customer.
separating yourself from the rest of the marketplace out there, or the competition, if you will.
Absolutely.
So what's your greatest tip or tips that you share with companies on consistently improving the will and the skill? Do you have one, two, or three of them?
Yeah, so let's talk will.
Sure.
A company, so I walk in and I talk to, so I do a lot of stress point testing, calling companies, learning who they are. Mm. Sometimes I feel like John Taffer from Bar Rescue, if you ever, so in terms of like, he would walk in and test them out before they know he was even there. And, you know, when I think about that, tell me about your culture. It's a great question I ask companies. And when a company can't answer that question, tell me about your culture, then it shows that they don't focus on their culture. So therefore, there's the will. This younger generation today, they are not interested in the exchange of dollars for hours that their parents made. And maybe they saw their parents, you know, wasn't a good exchange for their parents or grandparents. Purpose and passion are everything now. So you have to be, either you're a relationship driven business or you're just purely transactional. So what I do is we have to come up with some sort of purpose or vision of who we are, why we do what we do. And it's something that's actionable that we can go out every single day, and it should lead us. We should have, every company should have a North Star. And that's one objective that they should achieve every single day. That's it. And if they don't have that, then everybody's out there doing different things and it's inconsistent. So when it comes to will, creating a North Star, creating something that is the basis of what you do and why you do it.
I'm pretty sure I know what you mean, but since I'm not 100% sure, I'm going to suggest many of our listeners or people that are watching this podcast aren't crystal clear. Can you think of an example? You said every company should have a North Star. What's an example of a North Star?
Yeah, so just taking a company I just talked to earlier today in an email that I work with, the name of their company is Gardner. And it was, be the reason people choose Gardner. It's an actionable statement. It's something everybody can do every single day. And there's an exercise we go through to get to this place. It's not just, you know, come up with a slogan, but it's actionable. Most companies have core values. A lot of them do, not all, or a mission statement, but they're not relatable typically. They're not something that is, I can do right here, right now. So being the reason people choose Gardner, because in their employee and customer surveys that came back, people referenced this one individual is the reason they gave a great survey score. So like, for example, Mike is fantastic. He takes care of me like no other. He values relationships. He provides me peace of mind. I know I'm in the best hands, right? So like, Mike is the reason people choose Gardner, right? So be the reason people choose. So it's very deep and it's very in depth, and there's a purpose and a vision behind it, and it's actionable, and it's their North Star, and they're talking about it every single day. So that's how you start to improve that will. How do they achieve that? They achieve that with what they call as their three pillars, and there's a whole process to that. I call the action statement, the vision is the bridge. And then they have the pillars that support the bridge. These are standards and ways of doing things that have been happening, like Ritz-Carlton. It's the same type of methodology that, you know, that they've used in their entire system. So the other thing with will is hiring the right people. So it's hiring for attitude and training aptitude. So we have to do that.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, you said so much right there, and I hope everybody caught that. So every company should have a North Star. Be the reason that people choose Gardner, I believe was the name of the company that you said. But is that like their core purpose, or?
That's it. That is their vision for service. They call it their service vision.
And got it.
Be that. And if there's one thing they should be thinking about every single day, it's that. So what does that look like? If I'm the reason, you know, so if I'm an independent agency, you know, be the reason, you know, people choose your name or your company.
SIA.
Yeah. So what does that look like? That means like, you know, instead of me just, you know, they're talking to me on the phone and I'm ordering lunch or shopping on my computer, I'm actually actively engaged and showing empathy and like, I care, like, you know what I mean? So it's, there's a lot of that goes into it. So it's be that, right? And by doing that, you're actually making your job easier and you're more fulfilled because we're not just going through the motions, watching the clock. Hopefully we're, you know, making an impact and we're helping people. And that's what really feels good, you know, at the end of the day.
100%. I think that is fantastic. So quick story. I heard you mention Ritz Carlton. So I've been privileged to not only study Horst Schultze, who's the co-founder and Excellence Wins, I believe is the name of the book, and been through it multiple times, but just become enamored. And so my wife and I, even though we can, and we can go to Ritz anytime we want, we're just kind of conservative and we don't do those kinds of things. But when I was studying that a couple of years ago, our anniversary was coming up. And so I always like to do something different every anniversary because now we're in our 30th year. We just had our 30th. So this is, I think, our 28th or 29th anniversary. And I always like to do something different. So I said, I'm going to take her to the Ritz. So I'd been studying the Ritz and I knew about the 20 basics and the whole nine yards, right? And I was feeling pretty good about things. So we went up to the Ritz and having a great time. And I'm up early morning and she's a night owl. I'm an early morning guy. And so I'm out there and we'll get on down to get a cup of coffee. And I ran into the person there in the coffee area. Her name was Kathleen. I still remember it. And Saranon was her teammate. I still remember that. And I still remember Guy, who checked me in. Interesting, right?
100%. So
Kathleen said, is this your first time at the Ritz? I said, it is. She goes, that's fantastic. I said, but I've learned a lot about you. She goes, what do you know? And I'm telling her about the Ritz-Carlton 20 basics and everything. I am proud to say that I am the possessor of the Ritz-Carlton service values, because I was able to repeat that to her. And she goes, well, we do what we do because I've got this card. And she pulls it out of her apron. And I said, that's fantastic. I've heard about those. She goes, would you like to have it? I said, me? So you're on point. But, you know, I've told people that story, and the will and the skill and the people side of the business, we can talk about it all we want, right?
Yeah.
But we have to have a guide and a path. And I know that you teach that. And I'm learning as I'm listening to you. I know you help people not only have that path, but you give them a blueprint and a game plan to follow, right?
Absolutely. Well, what
how important is that blueprint and game plan, and why should people have one?
Well, let's take the game of football, for example. I never played the game, but I know the game. And what I do know is this: could you imagine a football team going on the football field on offense or defense, and they don't have a playbook, right? There's the quarterback, there's the running back, there's the wide receivers, there's the tight ends, there's the offensive line. I might be missing something, but there's position groups. Let's say that's your company. Imagine the ball snapped. There's no play. What do we do? What's going to happen on the football field? There's no playbook. It's going to be a mess, right? It's going to be complete chaos. And yet that's how business is without having what you just said, are going out every single day. It's inconsistent. There's no standards for how we want to play the game. So, you know, what's the Ritz-Carlton action statement? What's their service vision? It's ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen.
100%.
Right. Yep. And, you know, here's my company's credo card, right? The exact same thing, right? So, like, this is what we do. Like, just taking just
that is awesome.
So, we help companies also create credo cards because I'm licensed in that Ritz-Carlton methodology. And we take companies through those same exercises to become, to be excellent, world-class if they're serving their clients and their employees. Because you can't be ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. You can't give that to the customer until the employee experiences it first.
So
you have to treat the employees like ladies and gentlemen to get them to reciprocate to the clients.
That is awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I love the fact that you have that credo card. I think that's fantastic. As we begin to wrap up, I've got a question, and I wrote this down about 2 minutes in to our conversation. So what is your, because I've learned over the years in business that to an extent, money follows trust. Okay. Absolutely. So based on all that you've learned and all that you've just proven to all of us out there, what is your best tip on building trust? Because it's important in sales, it's important in retention or keeping customers and building the experience. And they'll listen more to you when you have that trust.
Embrace the fires.
Tell me more.
So let's say it's not going right. You're in a tough situation with a client. They're not happy, or something is in not right, or you need some adversity to really earn trust. Because when it's all sunshine and rainbows, everybody looks great when it's easy. But when your back's against it and you have to figure out a way, do you take the reins and go out of your way to exceed expectations? Do you think about, you know, what could we potentially do to make this right, no matter what it would be, and not just look at the tree in front of our face, but let's look at the long term, right? The forest through the trees, because we're not just here to make a sale. We're here to build a client for life, hopefully. I mean, that should be the objective. And what is the long term value of a client? So like, going out of your way to be a hero, you know, in that moment, that's the gold. So embrace those opportunities. Don't run from them and be fearful of them or not want to call the client back because of them. You know, embrace them. Be thankful for those. Those are the gifts. That's how I've earned loyalty through years. It's when the going is tough.
Embrace the fires.
Embrace them.
That is incredible. Thank you. So I'm going to repeat that just to make sure that one sunk for everybody. My question for Frank, and Frank just dropped tons of wisdom, or as we say in the UPP circles, gold nuggets galore. Thank you, Frank, by the way. What is your best tip to build trust in business? And that's where his expertise lies, is sales and service and customer experience. He said, embrace the fires. So instead of running from it, embrace it, jump into the fire. And a problem solved is an opportunity for sale, right?
Absolutely. And that's, if you want to jump, the line and go to the front of trust, because trust is the glue. But
right,
until you show someone how you react in a pressure situation with some adversity, it's really hard to get that 100% trust. Once you do deliver, then the peace of mind is there, and you've proven, you know, that you'll deliver, and people will know I'm in good hands. You've done it before. You're going to do it again if I need you.
Right. That brings me back to a conversation that goes back at least 25 or 30 years. A really close colleague of mine, great client, very high-end client that we lost. And I have never forgotten what he told me when he called to say, I've gone somewhere else. He said, Mike, it was always yours to lose. Right? So we can't take anything for granted. We've got to embrace the fires, and we've got to go to the table and jump into the fire all of the time. So complacency kills, right?
Oof. And that's how you differentiate, because most out there are complacent.
Right. So opportunity is knocking every single day.
Every day. Just, are we seeing it as an opportunity?
Oh, back to the will and mindset.
Yes.
Thank you. I know that we could go on for hours, and I think that's fantastic. But, you know, when we jumped on today, but before I go there, Frank Favolo, if somebody's hearing something and they want to have a conversation with you and learn more, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, they can reach me two ways. They can reach me directly through my email, which I'll give that. It's frank@serve, S-E-R-V-E, centric, C-E-N-T-R-I-C, coaching, C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G.com, or my website, it's serve-centric.com.
All right, fantastic. So Frank Favolo, if you have any questions for Frank about anything, feel free to reach out to him. But when we jumped on today, you have a visual behind you. And we had that commonality, and we didn't know that until we jumped on today. And I said, you have the man in the arena right there.
That's right.
And you got that from one of your clients, right?
I did.
Yeah. So I too have that same visual across my office that I got from one of our clients as well. And I remember the day I got it. So I thought it would be fitting to wrap our time up today, Frank.
Okay.
To just repeat the man in the arena. What do you think?
Let's do it. I don't have a memory, so I'm going to have to
tell you. I've got it right here in front of me. So anyway, so we're good. But because at the end of the day, you just said embrace the fires.
That's it.
But that's what the man in the – that's at the core of the man in the arena is embracing the fires. Hang on a second. I just had some software do something on my screen. So the man in the arena, and this is from Theodore Roosevelt – the man in the arena, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error or shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And so, Frank Favolo, thank you for sharing from the heart, from your experience, everything that supports that. And now I'm at an impasse. I've got multiple things that I'm going to title this podcast, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. The people side of business or embrace the fires, whatever it might be, you've shared that and more. So thank you, Frank.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Mike.
You're very welcome. Thank you for investing time today to share with Unstoppable Nation. And we hope you got great value out of this podcast. And if this is your first time on the podcast, welcome. My name is Mike Stromso. I'm widely recognized as a leading author, speaker, and coach for the independent insurance agency industry. You can learn more about what we do at unstoppableprofitproducer.com. Everything that we do, everything that we share is all designed to share with you some of our best money-making strategies developed over 36 years of research as a proud independent insurance agent 100% of the time. And our goal is that it all helps you grow your business, create wealth, so you too can have freedom to live life on your own terms. And if you haven't done it yet, please go to unstoppableprofitpodcast.com, go up to the top, and click subscribe so you won't miss one valuable episode, so you too can continue to learn and grow and become unstoppable. And you can find us out there on all the channels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, our YouTube channel, Amazon, and more. So thank you for joining us. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss any further episodes with people like Mr. Frank Favolo, where you're just going to learn and get gold nuggets. Again, thank you, Frank.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
All right, everybody. Until the next episode, get out there, make a difference, be unstoppable, leave no regrets, and remember, you got this. We believe in you. We'll see you in the next episode.
Do you love the podcast but don't know where or how to get started? Visit www.upplife.com.
That's UPPLIFE.com to learn more about our coaching and mastermind programs and how you can join our community of growth-oriented agency owners today.